Why Dubai?
Unparalleled. It's incredible. And it's real people cooking for their own people.
In Dubai Mall, there are more than 130 food experiences. 130. Welcome to a new episode of Food Unscripted. And since we're starting in Dubai, so let's talk about Dubai. Today's show is about Dubai and why Dubai, why do we love Dubai, and what is Dubai for us? In our previous episode, you met our famous Bedouin foodie, good friend and co-host, and today it's gonna be an all-in Dubai episode. So all let's right. Start by why Dubai?
Why Dubai? What Dubai has achieved in the last 20, 30 years is unparalleled. It's incredible. As a result of all this development, it's attracted some of the best talent in the world. People have moved here and live here from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely reflected in the cuisine. We have incredible, every cuisine you can imagine. They say we have 150 nationalities here. There's a restaurant or a kitchen representing each one of those. And it's real people cooking for their own people. That's why we have such incredible regional cuisines. The real magic of Dubai for me is in the regional cuisines, the accessibility to them. I always like to give the example of you can get in your car and drive 10 minutes and you can have North Indian food. Another 10 minutes, you can have South Indian food, Iranian, same, Northern Iranian, Southern Iranian. There are foods here that you can experience. You probably never, most people are probably never going to go to Iran or maybe Iraq or, you know. But you can come to, it's a place, it's one city where you can have incredible regional cuisines. From all over the world.
Dubai is a melting pot of lots of good produce. You can order anything in Dubai you can have.
Absolutely.
When I say order is you can call anyone in Europe and get your produce instantly. So Dubai has everything from all across the globe. Yeah. Definitely connected through Emirates Airlines that bring everything in and all the national carriers. So you can have anything Lebanese, all the fruits and vegetables in Lebanese from Lebanon arriving 3 times weekly. And this is a small example of all the other things. Yes. So imagine in Dubai where you can have any Indian produce you need, any American, European, any product, all the butters, the European butters I like, I found them. My famous, Australian butter I like, you can find. Yeah. And I can go on and on with the best Australian beef, American,
absolutely,
and so on. So in a place where you can find anything, you can create with it anything.
Yes.
And not only to serve the Tex-Mex of Mexican or the upgraded flavors of every country, but as you said, and you said it perfectly well, flavors for the people. So in a country where they say there are around 186 nationalities, Dubai people would say 200, but I would say 186 plus or minus, each community would cook for themselves.
Yes.
You need to dig in to go to the Indians,
oh,
and to the Bangladeshis and the Iraqi. And even if you don't want to do that, you will take a step back and go in the normal places and you would find a chef of every single cuisine. Filipinos, Chinese, all cuisines of the world would be represented by their chefs and their restaurants. Last but not least, when we talk about that, in a country where rent is way so expensive and where you have to pay for accommodation for your employees and you have to pay for the e-commerce for your employees and you have to pay the rent and you have to pay electricity and you have to buy DIY and you have to pay for fresh air and you have to pay for cold water and all of this, failure is not an option.
Yes.
So competition is way so high.
Very, very high competition. You know, Dubai is known for its glitzy, beautiful resorts, beautiful big buildings. And sometimes the hidden gems get forgotten and they're not identified. And that's something that I spent a lot of time trying to identify and write about and communicate. Because for me, the real gold, the real treasure are these hidden gems, these mom and pop, as you, if you want to call them. Places that are making this, like sometimes they make one dish. Like I was just telling you earlier today about the hole in the wall chapli kebab place. You know, I didn't know what chapli kebab was. I had to learn all about that when I moved to Dubai. I learned about Iranian food and I learned about Indian food, Indian subcontinent food, the difference between Pakistani and Indian food. Little things like that you can learn here and discover here. Very few cities in the world have that. I like to say, what determines if a city or a destination is a culinary city? It's two things. One is either, like for example, Italy. You're gonna go to Italy, you're gonna have incredible Italian food, but you're not gonna go to Italy to have, Chinese or okay, maybe they'll have the odd restaurant here and there. But Italy or Florence, for example, is a culinary destination, but for Italian food. Dubai is a culinary destination, but for multiple cuisines. And there aren't many cities like that in the world.
So we could talk about why Dubai for food in the next part of the episode, but let's start and talk about Dubai. So Dubai, that country that hosted us and all the other hundreds of nationalities. So why Dubai? I would love to start and say why Dubai, because Dubai is a place where you can live in peace,
Yes.
where security is amazing,
Absolutely.
where respect of others is outstanding and unique and cannot be compared to anywhere else in the world, where you would open up the door of your home, go out and just feel insecurity or secured.
Yes.
You would open the car and forget to close it. You would leave your phone on the bench and nobody would touch it. You would just feel connected with all the other nationalities, and most importantly, where no one would look at you or you would not even look at someone else. So some cities in the world, you would have all the time this feeling of someone's looking at me.
Yeah, am I standing out?
Exactly,
Yeah.
I don't feel welcomed, etc.
Yeah.
So Dubai is just that place where we can all live together, respecting one
Very true.
another to the utmost max.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You don't have to worry here about being disrespected or your safety, especially if you have children, your sister, your wife, your mother. Do you know they're not going to get disrespected? Actually, there's a law against tahrish, so it's something that I have a lot of respect for and gratitude for the leadership that they've done.
Definitely, we respect
Yeah.
the leadership of this country, and we really appreciate what they're doing, especially now, and every single time there is a problem in the world or a war, and now for Lebanon, and that support they always give for their
Yes.
people. It's one of the few countries where really all the effort you put is appreciated.
Yes.
If you're not local, they appreciate your effort as a country. They appreciate your effort as a tourist or as a local, an expat living here. And this adds so much value for your own well-being. So you wake up and feel blessed, feel welcomed, feel that you're being part of the next generation of people that are building something for the future. And
Yes.
this is what I want to say. Years ago, I always traveled to New York and say, this is a country I want to, this is a city I want to be part, because it's building up for the future. So the land of opportunities. And it's a fast pace. Everybody wants to work. Everyone is on the, okay, come on, come, 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 yeah, come on. And back to Dubai, it just feels the same.
Yes.
It's very speedy, very fast, super fast. And you feel like technology of the future or the world of tomorrow is being lived today.
Yes. The government is providing us with the infrastructure and with the technology. We have ultra high speed internet, 5G before anybody else had 5G. It's easy to do everything. You can get licensing, you can set up, everything is efficient. This efficiency leads to entrepreneurial attracting entrepreneurs. They used to say it's the American dream. You can go, you can make it big in America. Well, I've seen a lot of different nationalities of people making it big here. You hear a lot of startups being evaluated at unicorns at a billion plus. You hear about people who have created a chain of Lebanese restaurants that have sold out, sold and cashed
Brilliant.
in. It's not limited to, you have to be from this specific part of the world or this kind of background. You can really make it here. You have some of the biggest Indian families are based here. Retail empires are here.
What do you need to grow? You need peace of mind, check. You need happiness, check. You need good experiences, check. You need a sporting environment, done. You need fun activities and experiences like
That's very
the
important.
world things.
Golf, all of that.
And at the end, good restaurants, nightclubs, and somewhere to go out on a weekend.
Yes.
You can decide to drink or not.
Yes.
You can decide to party or not. You can decide to sleep early or not.
Yes.
And, which I'm noticing lately more and more, the 24 hours opening of coffees and burgers and fast food.
Dubai is going in that direction. They want it to be a 24-hour city. You can definitely see that, as you said.
You hear many saying Dubai, lots of traffic jams.
Yep.
Fine. This is.
I want to add also another thing Dubai has is a good legal system,
mm-hmm.
and you know the good police that are highly respected. Of course, everybody knows they're famous for their beautiful car collection, but that's part of the marketing of Dubai Inc. to show.
Yeah.
Everybody respects the police here. Their cars are impeccable, clean, nice. They are highly respected, and they do a great job. So they're the security. There's a security aspect to it.
Definitely, can't agree less. And let's not forget about all the big exhibitions that are happening.
Absolutely.
And how many people are visiting Dubai, and the connections you can do in this beautiful country.
Yes, I always on my Instagram account every year at this time I have a rant about Jitex, because I used to live next door to it, mm-hmm. and my office is nearby. So I rant about the traffic and everything. But in reality, these exhibitions are very important for our economy. It's a very, very important thing. It's one of the reasons Dubai became a regional hub. They were the first to encourage that. They created free zones. Companies came and created their regional headquarters here. They made it, when I say they, the leadership, they made it a desirable place to live. They provided golf courses, the restaurants, the lifestyle, the ability to have a similar lifestyle that you have back home, whether it's Europe or anywhere else. I'm going with the ability to have wine with your dinner. These little things that they matter to the family. Schools, schooling system, you can have friends. There's a Swiss school, a German school, there's everything. They make it easier for you.
We can go on and on without forgetting that you're part of a country called United Arab Emirates. So
yes.
The country is not called Dubai.
Yes.
And the capital is not called Dubai. So for many people think that we live in a country called Dubai. It's not. We're blessed to be part of a huge and beautiful country called United Arab Emirates. Abu Dhabi has probably the same things we can talk about. But since we are based in Dubai, in that hub of technology and business, we're bragging about Dubai and very proud to be part of it.
I have a funny little story to tell you. There was a time, you know, Dubai does so well in marketing and branding the country and themselves. So there was a time where I'd be asked, where are you from? I've been in the States or somewhere. I'm Saudi Arabia. Oh, is that near Dubai? You know? Whereas, you know, people from this part of the world, the big country is Saudi Arabia, you know? But for the rest of the world, it's Dubai is the reference mm-hmm. of the region, which is a beautiful, fantastic
definitely.
Example.
So back to food and what the show is all about. So let's talk about food.
Okay.
So food in Dubai. So when you first landed in Dubai 14 years ago, tell me about the experience. Tell me how the country was. Tell me about the fast food things and probably less good high-end restaurants, and Michelin was not here. So tell me your experience, food in Dubai 14 years ago.
Yeah. So at the time, Dubai has always been encouraging tourism and development and high-end resorts and things like that. The laws in the UAE are that you have to have a hotel to have an alcohol license. And then they made an exception to that where they have a zone, the financial district, where to have an alcohol license. So as a result of that, each hotel had 5, 8, 10 restaurants, because they were the only ones that were allowed to sell alcohol. Mm-hmm. So there was a time where you're always going into hotels if you want that high end with wine experience and everything. Street foods is another subject. Then the DIFC came along, restaurants opened there, people started going there, other hotels started opening. It seems to me that it's going in the direction of eventually you're going to be able to have whatever you want to have all over the city. But I don't know. The way it's developed, all the biggest brands of the world came here. The biggest example you have is Zuma restaurant. They opened DIFC. For many years, it was maybe the highest grossing restaurant in the world, or one of, at least. And then on the back of that, they all came. LPM, Nobu, all these famous brands have come. We even have Namos Beach here, rumored to do over 200 million dirhams in turnover per year, which makes it maybe the highest in the world. But for me, I like to discover, I wanted to discover the hidden gems, the hole in the walls, and I started on a journey of discovery of those. And I started documenting it, putting it in my Instagram. And I found that I get the best connection, the best response, the best interaction on anything I do regarding hidden gems and mom and pop places and like places that maybe make one dish. So it's developed at the same time, both at the same time, high end and street foods. But I think you would be mistaken and you will lose a lot if you come to Dubai and not go to these hidden gems and places for regional foods.
Years back, probably 20, 30, 40, I'm not sure of the right number, a great company called Americana was born.
Yes.
And the name Americana was importing American concepts from the States. And the idea was, and still Kuwait is to date, and probably Saudi and all the other countries, the idea was how many American concepts can we import? And the culture was more based on fast food than something else.
Oh, definitely.
Fast forward in the making, concepts of being exported to the States, exported to Europe, and less and less and less fast food chains are coming in. All of the GCC has created their own burgers, has created their own chicken shops, have created lots of other things, which put street food or fast food in general to a halt the importation of American concepts, where we prove to the world that yes, we can do them by ourselves. So fast forward in the making, international city, Dubai has evolved, became a touristic destination and one of the top three touristic destinations in the world. And then the country evolved to become not only a touristic destination for the youngsters, but more of a retirement destination for the older generation. So it became a melting pot of youth. 18, you can come in and start your life, study here. You can work here around 20, 30 to the, up to the 40s. Start planning your retirement instead of planning how can I leave with the money I've done and leave it here. And it's not a secret. This is a very beautiful structure that Dubai government is working on. Meanwhile, food came in. So I would not only want to eat burgers, I would not only want to eat McDonald's, I would not only want to have a drive-thru. What are the experiences around food? So first it started with the big names. Zuma is still doing great. La Petite Maison LPM is doing great. And other names. And after that, big concepts started coming in. A franchise or created by the biggest groups in the Middle East, of which Seven Management and AdMind and other of the big, big groups who have created concepts that are very high end and got European chefs to be in the kitchen. After that, the European chefs, which are famous, the French pastry chefs, the American chefs, all the names made famous by the 50 top best or the Michelin star, decided to come in. And a name has created a restaurant. The restaurant has evolved. The restaurant has opened several kitchens. So kitchen of pastry, of bakery, of et cetera, et cetera. And this is how the food scene is developing and developing and developing.
Absolutely. It's the evolution of the culinary scene of a city. Like you said, I'll take Saudi as an example. Saudi was built by Americans. You know, they came and discovered the oil and was built by Americans. That's why our roads are big, American cars and so on. So it's definitely a fast food culture. But it develops. And like here, it went from the fast foods, and then you started having, you know, local homegrown brands. And these local homegrown brands have gotten better and better and better. And now a brand like Orfa Libros Bistro has gathered world recognition and a Michelin star. This is a homegrown brand. Mm-hmm. So it's an evolution. You start by importing everything, and then you mentioned earlier about the availability of produce. It's a very big thing because Dubai is at a disadvantage where the chefs don't have the farmer that they can work with that does the certain vegetable or the milk or the cheese or all of that. It's pretty much imported in. We do have now farming like pure harvest tomatoes and hydroponic farms, and we do have it, but it'll never be, the land is not designed for sun fertile land. It's
where the flavor is different.
Yeah, we don't have the water, we don't have the mud, we don't have all of that. So everything has to be imported, but everything is important. I was telling you earlier about there's a Lebanese lady who imports vegetables and fruits and other items, even the saj bread from Lebanon. And she does it, she does seasonality. So through her, you're able to have seasonality. You know that the green figs don't come all the time. And it's kind of nice where people have lost the seasonality part, because now you go to the supermarket, you'll find strawberries 12 months of the year, or you'll find things that you're used to having everything at the same time. So it's nice to see that the seasonality is still around. And that's important with homegrown concepts and where chef-operated restaurants. There are a few restaurants here, chef-owned and operated, or owner-operated. Example is Beit Maryam. You know, you go there, it's like home cooking, home-cooked food.
Mm-hmm.
These are beautiful, beautiful restaurants.
The concept of Dubai has been helped by definitely the government. So new cities are being opened, new neighborhoods are being opened, and every time it's okay, the neighborhood and the challenge of opening new restaurants.
Yes.
So when Dubai Hills opened, definitely some of the brands were known before, but other brands were the first time operating in Dubai Hills. So Dubai Hills came in as an example and said, I have a new location, do you want to be part of it? Create something new.
Mm.
And then now the latest to open is in City Walk, where a new system, a new city called C3
or C2 licensed district.
Exactly.
Yes.
And the challenge was, we need new concepts. You need to have your own and open it as is. So the government and the country and the new development of new neighborhoods come as a push for the restaurant industry, not only to copy and open up a copy paste or more,
yes,
but to create new concepts. And with every new concept comes a new development, comes a new trend, comes a challenge.
Yeah.
And every time there's a restaurant that opens, the other says, I want to be better, and then I want to be better, and then I want to be better. I believe the rating systems have added a lot of value. So Michelin coming in, the Emirates has added a lot of value, putting the restaurants on the international map, where probably Europe thought that no Michelin would have been available, yes, in the Middle East, or the Americans as well. And then came the 50 best, who, if we agree with their system or not, just created a certain awareness around the world of, yeah, the top five or top three are not imports, are not franchises, are locally grown,
yeah,
by Arab chefs, and they're not even serving probably Arabic food. So talk about Three Fils that serves Japanese, etc. Or talk about Orfeo, who reinvented or modernized the normal Lebanese cuisine. So these are things that people do travel and come in, and I've been seeing tourists all across. Man, whoa, the streets are loaded. They come in to visit the big attractions,
yes,
and to experience food from the region.
Just a quick correction, World 50 Best came before Michelin. They were first, they came to Abu Dhabi. But you're absolutely right. We now have tourists that travel for food. That's what the power of a brand like Michelin does, or World 50 Best. There are people who travel, I'm one of them. I grew out of going to nightclubs and thinking like that, you know, I'm going to holiday like that. I now plan my holiday around food. So we do have people who come here for that now. It's an incredible revenue source.
So let's,
for our city.
Let's make it concrete in a way or another. If someone is watching us from outside of the region, Europe, America, or anywhere else in the world, and wants to visit Dubai for the first time, and has only 3 or 4 days, let's say a week to be logical, what would you recommend?
Well, you know, I get half the messages I get on Instagram, on my account, are to recommend restaurants for people coming to Dubai. So I always My first question is alcohol important or not? Because that's a fact here. Not all the restaurants here serve alcohol. Europeans like to have alcohol with their meals. But the people who contact me are foodies. They're good. They want it for the food. So I'll always recommend local, not restaurants that have chains or multiple locations, but some restaurants that specialize in something. There's a restaurant that specializes in, it's an Indian family from East Africa. They have a place called Hashmi Barbecue. The Indian people went to Nairobi in Kenya 100 years ago to build a rail system. So they've stayed there. They're from Africa, they're East African, but they're also Indian. So they have their own special kind of food. That's one of the restaurants I always recommend. I always recommend going to Beit Maryam or her new restaurant, Sufrat Maryam. You get to experience a true home style Levantine experience. A lot of people who come here may not be able to go to Syria or Palestine or Lebanon. If you want a little taste of that, I got you. Dubai got you. We have that. Modernization of our food places like Orfa Libros Bistro must go. Regional, Indian, Iranian must go. So I have a list that I give to people like that. Now, I'm also happy to recommend LPM and Zuma, but I don't usually do that because you know what? They have it in London. They don't need to come here to have it.
I'll go on the way of living in Dubai, and I personally won't recommend a place or the other because they would say, okay, why this, not that, why this, not that, and probably it might happen from time to time that you go and have a bad experience, and they would say, should Anthony give us a bad experience or whatever. So one, I would start by explaining the Dubai way of life. So brunch Saturday is an important thing. You have to experience.
Yes.
So decide which kind of brunch you want to have. Is it a Zuma brunch or an hotel brunch, an all-you-can-eat brunch, a buffet, etc. So the Saturday brunch is important. And don't go driving. Take a cab. You're going to drink like whatever. Yes. And go back with the cab home. This is one important. I would definitely recommend the beaches during October, November, December, so the midwinter or autumn season. And what can you experience on the beach? I would say that I do trust Google Maps. I do trust the reviews of Google Maps in a way or another, even though anyone can put anything. But you have to understand Google Maps. It's the review and how many reviews. So you do the balance, let's say a 4.7 on 500 reviews. He cannot have 500 friends asking them to put a 5. Or a 5 for 3 reviews, this is definitely not a place you want to be in. So follow in a way or another the Google Maps rating and choose wherever you want to go. Whenever you plan a trip, start preparing it a month in advance and follow, ask Instagram, top 5, top 10 foodies to follow, or just write Dubai food, etc. You will find probably 10 or 20 foodies. Follow them all and let's see what would they recommend or where do they go. And this would help. And then if you want to trust someone, ask where the locals eat. So ask, yes, a Lebanese, where does he eat?
Absolutely.
Ask a Palestinian, where does he eat? So I would go for, I have one or two Lebanese restaurants where flavors are Lebanese all the way hardcore. I would definitely choose one or two Palestinians, which I love. I would go to a certain burger that feels good or where locals eat. So there are the staples of Dubai, the top 10.
Yes.
And then I would say definitely Dubai Mall, definitely Dubai Hills, definitely Mall of the Emirates and City Walk. Not for the shopping part of it, but just walking around. All the brands are in one place. You would feel which one you want to try or not. You might wake up one day and say, I feel, yep, like eating rice.
Yep.
Or the other day, feeling like eating a burger. And you would let your sixth sense let you go to a fully loaded place or just one table in a place or not.
I want to add something about, sorry to interrupt.
Of course.
About Dubai Mall. Dubai Mall is the number one most visited attraction, call it a tourist destination attraction, in the world.
Yeah.
It's more than the Eiffel Tower and the Louvre combined. People don't know that. There's a company here called Frying Pan Adventures. They do walking food tours. and old Dubai and everything. They now have a food tour of Dubai Mall.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in Dubai Mall, we have there's a Chinatown now. It's a district called Chinatown, full of Chinese street foods, everything. You have everything you could think of. It's like a mini little world. Mm-hmm. So Dubai Mall is a big, big, big reason that Dubai is so popular.
In Dubai Mall, there are more than 130 food experiences, 130, from the super fast food commercial all the way up to a very, very expensive and fancy restaurant. I would definitely recommend, from the Lebanese perspective, Babel, which is phenomenally delicious. The group of Salt and all the restaurants
somewhere,
they have.
Right?
Somewhere is...
I love that restaurant. That's
great.
A great example of a local concept. You know, that's a modernized Levantine food.
Yep.
I love it. You know, everybody who goes there loves that restaurant.
Yeah.
Falafel
salad. Have you tried the chocolate of Parker?
Not yet.
The big chocolate.
Yeah, Parker is another brand.
Yeah, this is nice. Somewhere is great.
Somewhere is great.
I know the chef and I love what they do.
Yeah.
I'm a personal fan of Five Guys.
Yes.
Every single trip I have one Five Guys stop.
Yeah. Din Tai Fung?
Definitely.
Have you been? It's incredible. Yep. Some of the best dumplings you'll ever have.
Yep.
I remember when I moved to Singapore, I discovered that there was people waiting in line every day outside this restaurant.
Yes.
And that's how I discovered Din Tai Fung.
Abdul Wahab, Lebanese restaurant on the fountain with a great view.
Yes.
Time Out Market.
Which is also licensed, by the way, Abdul Wahab.
Yes. Yeah. Time Out Market with the experiences and probably the cheapest alcohol in Dubai. If you want to have a good drink at a very good price with a great ambiance. And we can go on and on and on.
Yeah.
And the little gems that are less famous or not on the main scene.
Yeah.
I had sushi at that little hidden restaurant, forgot the name, said, okay, wait, is this in Dubai Mall? So 130 restaurants to choose from.
Yeah.
It's not only for the shopping. You can walk and walk and walk and walk. I tried to film it a couple of days ago. It took me 3 hours and I was just at half of it.
Yeah.
And you can experience even the new cafes where the locals
drink. We need to have an episode about coffee culture because it's huge in Dubai. I would say in the region also.
Mont Blanc, Angelina, and Dubai Mall. Don't forget about that.
Yeah. Oof,
this is one of my love.
Yeah.
Anyway, so fast forward into that discussion to where you want to reach. Yes, 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 yes. Confirmed a million times. Dubai is a foodie destination. Everyone that asks me around the world, do you like food in Dubai? I say, yes, definitely.
Oh, definitely.
30 years back, 20 years back, you would have to travel the world to experience food. Today, if you do not want to travel in Dubai, you have it all. You can have the greatest pizza, you can have the greatest Lebanese dish, you can have the greatest Chinese, you can have the greatest Indian, you can have a mix and match of everything, the greatest seafood or street food, in the fanciest or the cheapest restaurant.
Yes.
You can in Dubai have a shawarma for 2 dirham, and you can have that same or different shawarma for 18 in just one same country. Your choice, you know where to go.
Absolutely. And therein lies the real gold treasure that Dubai has. It's the access to all of this in one destination. Not many cities have that.
Mm-hmm. From a food distributor perspective, many of them are our friends, definitely. You can ask for anything.
Yeah.
It can be delivered through DHL in 2 or 3 days, or it can come in as a special order for you by plane or by sea. So anything is available.
And the e-commerce and the availability of apps has allowed distributors to go direct to consumer. And that's
food delivery in Dubai.
That's a whole other.
some people call it cloud kitchen. Some people call it dark kitchen. Some people call it black kitchen, whatever. Some people call it delivery kitchen.
Yeah.
I've been to a restaurant a couple of days ago, and he had 45 Deliveroo and Talabat machines.
Wow.
45, just set up one next to the other.
Yeah.
One brand outside, one restaurant, and inside 45 hidden restaurants. What is a cloud kitchen? What is the concept of cloud kitchen?
I'd love to have a whole discussion about that. You know, it's a company that has multiple brands that don't have brick and mortar.
That don't have an address.
It's not an actual restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But all of them are made in one kitchen.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't realize that. So you can be ordering, you think you're ordering from this Indian restaurant and that Chinese restaurant and this Palestinian restaurant. But as a matter of fact, they're all being aggregated into one place and it's being produced by one kitchen.
What's the advantage of having a cloud kitchen? Definitely COVID helped launch this or ignite this. The advantage is that you would use one ingredient for several kitchens, one chef for several kitchens,
and the kitchen.
One concept for several kitchens, and the kitchen.
Yeah.
So you can go up to 40, as I said. The average is 10 or less, where you can create a Lebanese, a Japanese, a pizza, etc., etc. Let's take it as an example. With one dough, you can do za'atar jibneh, Lebanese. You can do pizza with tomato sauce, etc., etc. You can close it and create a calzone. You can do it in small bites and create a delivery concept or a catering concept. So using the dough, having that dough, since you have the dough, you can divide it in many ways possible. And probably per capita, it's the most available cloud kitchens in the world, 15,000. This was the last number published.
It's incredible. Dubai was conducive for the cloud kitchen business. And we both have a friend in common. They have one of the biggest cloud kitchen companies now, maybe in the world.
Yeah, it is.
So the environment was conducive for it. Ability to deliver quickly. High penetration of digital. Everybody has got that digital smartphone. All comes together to make it this incredible foodie city.
So in today's episode, we tackled the idea of why Dubai is a food city, and we tried to discuss why we love Dubai and why we believe this is the place for foodies and why we are both based here. In our previous episode, we talked about the 38 minutes. Our shows are going to be 38 minutes. 3 is my number, 8 is his number, and then we created the 38. Accordingly, in the next minute, we're gonna say goodbye. And during this episode, which proved why Dubai is the food city, we're gonna talk in details in different episodes about the cloud kitchens of Dubai, the restaurants of Dubai, the high-end produce of Dubai, the markets of Dubai, and we're gonna probably go out of the studio and start tackling the discoveries of best here and there.
I wanna show you a few places, some hidden gems.
Super excited. Last 30 seconds before we close.
I just want to say that you covered it. Dubai is one of few places in the world where you can go and experience multiple cuisines. All excellent.
Definitely. Dubai is breakfast, Dubai is lunch, Dubai is dinner, Dubai is experiences, Dubai is street food. In Dubai, you can eat for 100 dirhams, you can eat for 100,000 dirhams.
You can, by the way.
And we've seen the bills here and there.
Yes.
In Dubai, you can wake up for a 3 dirham breakfast, very simple, and you can end up having a lunch for 300 dirhams a person, or sometimes 600 dirhams a person. Alcohol is not too expensive compared to other Arabic countries with that last 30% discount that happened probably last year or before. Accordingly, we say goodbye and we'll see you in our next episode.